When the U.S. economy melted down in 2008, Charles Ferguson stepped up with a blistering documentary on the collapse called Inside Job. He named names and laid blame for the crash in a way that regulators and law enforcement were unwilling to do. Inside Job won the Academy Award for Best Documentary. Now Charles Ferguson is back with more. This time it's a book. A deep, furious critique of American finance and politics today is fundamentally corrupt and corrupting, dangerous, predatory. We welcome Charles Ferguson to the roundtable to talk about the predator nation, corporate criminals, political corruption, and the hijacking of America. Charles Ferguson, a great pleasure to have you return to this program. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
How much of this comes out of the work that you did for Inside Job?
Surprisingly little, in a way. Obviously, making that film sensitized me to a lot of things. But in the roughly 3 years since I made the film, a lot has happened. And in particular, there have been a number of private lawsuits and government investigations that have told us a great deal more about what occurred. So now we have a substantial record, still very incomplete, still inadequate, but a substantial record that demonstrates beyond any doubt whatsoever, in my view, that a great deal of the behavior that caused the crisis was, in fact, criminal, literally criminal. And since none of it has been prosecuted, I felt that it was important to lay that out and tell that story.
One of the things that I find fascinating in your telling of that story is that you make the point that while many think of manufacturing and even high technology was sort of our dominant industry in this country, you say, no, it's finance, A, and B, that financial sector is increasingly criminalized.
Yes. Over the last 25 years, as financial deregulation has progressed, the financial sector has become much wealthier, much more concentrated, much more powerful. And as a result of that, it has been able to neutralize not only government policy and regulation, but even law enforcement. Mm. And as a result, major criminal behavior in the financial system now goes unpunished or is very, very lightly punished, with a trivial fine, for example.
When you look at that 25 years, was there one thing that flicked the switch?
I would say that there wasn't a single thing, but there was one period that was particularly destructive, and that laid the groundwork for what happened with the crisis. And that period was the late 1990s and the early 2000s, the late Clinton administration and the early Bush administration. During that period, there were several major financial scandals, a lot of very unethical and criminal behavior in the financial system related, for example, to the internet bubble, related also to Enron, and it basically went unpunished. The only people who were punished were the senior managers of Enron, nobody else. And that was something, and at the same time, several major laws were passed that further deregulated the financial system and sent us in exactly the wrong direction. And the combination of that bad behavior, it's going unpunished, and the deregulatory legislation of that period gave a very powerful signal to the financial system that they could get away with anything. And the result was the bubble and the crisis.
Did that deregulatory legislation of the time make sense for the moment?
I would say absolutely not.
Could we have seen the long-term impact if we looked closely enough?
Yes. And in fact, people did see the long-term impact of it. The chairperson of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, Brooksley Bourne, warned very explicitly that derivatives were dangerous and pointed to several scandals in the late 1990s that involved derivatives and was moving towards regulating them. when Robert Rubin, Larry Summers, Alan Greenspan got in her way and were able to force through a new law, the Commodity Futures Modernization Act, that was passed in 2000, and which banned the regulation of most over-the-counter derivatives, made it illegal to regulate them. And the result was the proliferation of extremely dangerous derivatives, which could be sold in a completely unregulated, uncontrolled way because of this law.
What I find interesting is you mentioned the names Alan Greenspan and Larry Summers, and these were revered names at a point, and now in many cases are just looked at as spokesmen for the rich. However, with that said, nothing has really changed.
Unfortunately, that's correct. Unfortunately, that's correct.
So why do we understand and say, okay, well, this guy isn't as good as he was originally advertised, but we don't make the second step to say, but it's a system that is wrong and we have to change it. And then I'm going to throw a third question at you, and I apologize, but it's just that if not now, when? In the sense of getting our act together and fixing this.
Well, I think that many Americans are coming to understand that this is a very serious problem and that our political leaders aren't going to fix it because of the role that money now plays in American politics, which is a new thing. It didn't used to be that way. The cost of running for president or running for Congress has gone up by a factor of 20 in the last quarter century, a very, very major change and a very dangerous change. So I think that it's going to take a movement from below to fix these problems, because I don't think that our political leadership are capable or interested in doing it.
You write in a chapter, What Should Be Done, that there is a wide range of possible futures for the United States. One of them is simply more of the same, both economically and politically. In this case, America will be ruled by an ever more powerful oligarchy, roughly the top 1%, and will continue to function quite well for a sizable minority, roughly the top 10%, while becoming increasingly harsh for the majority of the population. I don't disagree with you on that. However, if I were a betting man, it would seem to me that's where we're headed.
Well, it's where we're headed in the short term, but America's had problems before, and a number of times the American people have risen up and thrown the rascals out, and I am optimistic that the same thing could and will happen again, but those things take time. You know, the civil rights movement took time. The progressive movement over a century ago also took time.
Right. But
so
who isn't a rascal at this point? I mean, this is what I came in reading the book. I got the idea like everyone's out to screw us. You know, I don't know, like, who's not a rascal?
Oh, no, that's not the case at all. I mean, there are many very good, honest, well-intentioned people in many walks of life in American academia and even still in government. You know, Senator Carl Levin, Michigan senator, held a series of hearings through his Committee on Investigations, the Permanent Committee on Investigations, and did extremely good work. The Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission, with a lot of senior people in it, both on the commission and its staff, also did extremely good work. So it's not the case that there's nobody left in American life who cares about these things or is
No, I'm not worried about that. But I think that the people that enter into the system with the best of intentions but then are corrupted by it.
Of course, some people do succumb in that way, and some people just kind of give up. You know, they kind of think, you know, the game's rigged. I should just go along because I can't do anything about it. But, you know, even in societies that are truly very harsh and dictatorial, there are always people of conscience who rise up and get things done, even in the Soviet Union. And the United States is nowhere remotely close to that. The United States is still a free country, and it is still, in many ways, a democracy. And I'm quite optimistic, actually, that over the next 10 or 20 years, we will see major popular social movements that will address these issues. And I think that Occupy Wall Street is perhaps the first symptom of that beginning.
The name of the book is Predator Nation: Corporate Criminals, Political Corruption, and the Hijacking of America. It is published by Crown. Charles Ferguson, a great pleasure to have you with us this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.